I was just thinking about the subject of incense in Scripture and how that incense is associated often with prayer. For example, in Psalm 141 and verse 2, the request made by the psalmist is, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." And again, that second part of the verse is also very significant, as I will hope to show in a little bit. But as you go further in Scripture over to the New Testament, to Luke's Gospel chapter 1, and the record that's given there of John the Baptist's parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth, it says in Luke chapter 1 from verse 9, "According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense." And once again, in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation, on two occasions in chapters 5 and 8, there's mention made of the offering of incense. Revelation 5 verse 8 tells us, "And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." And you turn over to chapter 8 of Revelation, verses 3 and 4. You understand what those odors were. For it says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." You'll note there references to the incense and to the golden altar of incense, and mention made of prayer in connection with that. That really takes us back to Exodus chapter 30, where you can read from verse 1 down to verse 10, a record of the making of the altar to burn incense upon. It gives the material of which it was made. It gives the dimensions of that altar, and it talks about how that it was overlaid with gold, etc. And there are various matters related to the altar of incense that are very interesting, and are, like all the other pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, things that speak to us of Christ. But one thing I want you to notice is that in Exodus 30 verse 7, Aaron, who is the high priest on this occasion, he's the original great high priest who speaks of Christ. He did what Zechariah did so much later, which was in verse 7 of Exodus 10, to burn thereon sweet incense every morning. When he dresseth the lamps, he shall burn incense upon it. That's upon this golden altar of incense. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. The offering of incense at the altar is really associated in Scripture, as I've sought to show, with the subject of prayer. And so we're taught here something of what real prayer is. And that's what I want to speak for a few minutes about tonight. And in the first place, I want you to see here in Exodus 30 verse 8, the purpose of real prayer is mentioned. Because what Aaron did was before the Lord. It says there, a perpetual incense before the Lord. The same thought can be drawn from Revelation chapter 8 and verse 4, where we read that the smoke of the incense ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So you take those two things together. It was before the Lord, and it ascended up. And that was the thought in the mind of the psalmist too, you will have noted, in Psalm 141, verse 2. Because he says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. The idea being that it might come up before God, that it might ascend to him. And this is a very simple thing, men and women, but it's very important. Because many a prayer meeting can witness, sadly, prayers which go in the wrong direction. They're not vertical in nature, they are horizontal. I once heard of a brother who was rather irate with some other brethren in his church, and he told another person before he was going to the prayer meeting that evening, he said, when I pray tonight, I'm going to clean them. Basically, the idea in his mind was that he was going to use his opportunity in prayer, not to pray to the Lord, but to instruct and to scold others around him. Well, I have to tell you that that is not the purpose of prayer, and it's not prayer as we find it spoken of in Scripture. We're not here to impress one another. The Lord talked about the hypocrisy that could be associated with prayer in Matthew chapter 6. We are not to pray as the hypocrites do, and we're not to pray as the heathen do. And one of the things that he pointed out was their penchant for looking for glory, looking for the preeminence, looking for people to actually see them standing on the street corners engaging in a religious exercise. So we're not here, and I'm sure you know this, and I'm probably already preaching to the choir, but you're not here to impress one another, nor are we here to instruct one another. A well-meaning gentleman once told me that prayer was a teaching ministry. And when I asked him how so, he didn't have an answer for me. He just had heard that somewhere. And I thought that, because we don't read about that in the Bible. Prayer is that which ascends to God. Philippians 4 verse 6 says that we're to let our requests be made known unto God. When the congregation there in the household of Mary, the mother of Mark, met to pray for Peter in prison, it says that they made instant and earnest prayer unto God. And that's what real prayer does. It goes up. One of the things in our Westminster Standards that speaks of prayer actually states that prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God. Real and true prayer isn't just a mere repetition of words and phrases. It is possible for us to say prayers and to repeat hackneyed phrases, parrot fashion, without ever really touching heaven. So our aim should be to enter heaven with prayer, as the hymn writer put it, to ascend in communion with God. Your prayer doesn't have to be eloquent for that to happen. You don't have to be skilled, as you might think of it, in prayer for your prayer to enter heaven. You may not be able, like some other brother, to quote a whole lot of scripture and verses of hymns and all of that. That doesn't matter. Come before the Lord simply with the burden on your heart and just make that known to him. Let your prayer ascend before him as incense. So that's just a simple thought, but I think it's an important one. It is the purpose of real prayer, that it might ascend up before God. The second thing is, and I notice this really emphasized in the portion in Exodus, and that is the passion of real prayer is pictured here. Because the purpose of the altar was to burn incense upon. We read that in verse 1 of Exodus 10 or Exodus 30. We also read it in verse 7 and in verse 8. Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense. He shall burn incense upon it. The incense, you see, the actual spices and so on had to be kindled. The incense had to be set alight. And in the book of Revelation, the portion that we read from, it speaks, in fact, in both places, of the smoke of the incense. I was always taught that there's no smoke without fire, and you have to set the incense alight for the smoke to ascend. In Leviticus chapter 16, on the Day of Atonement, the Bible tells us in verse 12 that Aaron, when he was offering the sin offering, he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and that would be the brazen altar, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. So you had the fire that would have had the coals burning, and the animal that was offered on that altar, the blood would have been falling onto those coals. And it was the coals from that altar that Aaron would bring inside, and he would set alight to the incense. Our prayers, if they are to ascend to God, must be kindled. Someone said, and I like this, prayer can be very eloquent, but yet not very earnest. It can be very proper, but not very passionate. And how we need the fire in our souls to set our prayers alight. That doesn't mean you have to shout. God is not deaf. Although if you did shout, it wouldn't matter either, because he's not nervous either. As long as it's true passion. And that true passion could be like Hannah, who didn't even say anything aloud, but she poured out her soul unto the Lord. Her heart was in the praying. You could say the incense that Hannah offered in prayer was set alight with the fire of God in her soul. Cold, dead, dry prayers are not the product of a heart that is on fire. We do need fervency. I think there are some in the Christian church, in some circles at least, who are afraid of anything that involves passion or feeling. And the preaching and the praying can often be very proper and very dignified. It's very sound. But as my pastor used to say, it's so sound it puts everybody into a sound sleep. And perhaps in some other places in Christian circles, there's more heat than light. And there's no truth, but it's just excitement. It's sheer animal excitement. But remember that John the Baptist was described as a burning and a shining light. He was a burning light, and that speaks to us of passion. But it was a shining light, and that speaks to us of truth. And we need both. It's no use having the truth when you haven't got the fire, and it's no use having the fire without the truth. And I do believe that biblical religion is a religion that can be felt. And we ought not to be afraid of passion in our praying. Don't be afraid to let the tears fall. Don't be afraid when the lump develops in your throat. That's a good thing. We're not all made up the same way. We're not all people who are of an extrovert nature, or we're not all as passionate as one another. Some are quieter, but it doesn't mean that they don't feel things. And so we shouldn't get too bogged down with that. But let us not be afraid of passion in our praying, or indeed in our preaching. And there's plenty of biblical warrant for that. One verse I'm thinking about is the effectual, fervent prayer. of a righteous man availeth much. There's the passion of true and real prayer, the burning of the incense. And when we think of the psalmist there, how often he spoke of crying and crying aloud unto God. Just go through the Psalms and read the numerous occasions on which he said this, that he would make his cry unto God. And that's really indicative of passion in prayer. So the incense had to be kindled before the sweet odors ascended. We must feel what we pray. The passion of real prayer is here. I think the purpose of real prayer is here. The position of real prayer is definitely emphasized here, in that Exodus 30 verse 6 talks about the altar of incense standing in a particular position. It was in the center of the inner court. It was between the lampstand, the candelabra on the one side, and the table of showbread on the other side. Of course, they both speak of Christ. It all speaks of Christ. Christ is the light of the world. Christ is the bread of life. But we think about the priest, the high priest, standing at that golden altar of incense and offering it unto God. And you could say it was at the very center of things. It was in the central place. And prayer must have the preeminent position in the life of every Christian, and also in the corporate life of the church. We're taught to pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Prayer should be at the heart of everything that we do. The apostles said that they would give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. How important it is to pray. Now, I wouldn't go so far as to say that the prayer meeting, the Wednesday night meeting, is the most important meeting of the week, because the Bible doesn't say remember Wednesday night to keep it holy. It says remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's one of the commandments of God. So let us not say things that are not scriptural. On the other hand, let us remember that everything that was ever done in Scripture to the glory of God was not done without prayer. Even in the life and ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't even choose his disciples that morning without having spent the previous night, all night, in prayer to God. And certainly when men went forth to preach, they always went forth in the spirit of prayer, as we see it in Scripture. The great preacher of the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle in London, Spurgeon, used to say that he seldom prayed in his own life for more than 15 minutes at a time, but he seldom went through a day without going more than 15 minutes without praying. And really what he was saying was that he was a man who lived in the atmosphere of prayer. And certainly as we read it here in Exodus 30 verses 7 and 8, the incense was offered up daily, every day, and it was kindled twice each day, in the morning and in the even. And of course those would have been times when the sacrifices were offered, the morning and evening sacrifice. So there really is a connection always between prayer and the blood. We'll see that in a moment. But certainly in Revelation chapter 8 verse 3, there's an interesting reference, because it speaks there of the incense and how that it is representative of much prayer, because the term that's used is much incense. There was a lot of incense that was burned and offered out of the angel's hand. And is there much prayer in your life and mine? And is there much prayer ascending from the church? Does it occupy the central position in the minds of the congregation? The Lord Jesus said that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the idea there is to cave in. Men ought always to pray and not to cave in. And there's plenty of times, I must admit, in ministry, and I feel like caving in. and I would cave in if it were not for the throne of grace and the one who is there representing me before God, even my great high priest. So let us pray to God, let's pray with passion, and let us pray much. There's one final thing I want to mention, though, and I talk about this in Psalm 141. Interestingly, in the mind of the psalmist was not only the golden altar of incense, obviously, but he said, "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands," which is just a Hebrew idiom for prayer, engaged in that exercise. Paul talked about that in 1 Timothy, about lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. It's talking about prayer. But notice he says, "The lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." We have the plea of real prayer. And what is that plea? That plea is the sacrifice. It's the blood of the Lamb. It's the blood of the sacrifice. In Exodus chapter 30, it tells us in verse 8, "And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations." And then you come to verse 10. "And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it," that's the horns of the altar of incense, "once in a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements." That's what I referred to earlier in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 12. That's what he was doing there. "Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord." Folks, there is no merit in our praying itself except that it's offered on the basis of the blood. It's offered on the merit of the blood of atonement. And that makes me to think of the plea that Paul emphasizes in Hebrews chapter 10. And with this we will close. Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 19. "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God," there's Christ, the angel, out of whose hand ascends the prayers of saints, "let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water." The plea in real prayer is the blood of the sacrifice. That's what gives our prayers efficacy. That's what causes God to hear our prayers, because they ascend from our great high priest on the basis of the blood that he shed. So may the Lord help us tonight to pray.